Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me. This morning, I have a dear friend and ministry partner of many, many years, my guest again on this broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. Her name is Carol Wagstaff, and Carol is the founder of Livingstones Ministries, which has its home base of operation in Glendora, California, but she now lives in Tucson, Arizona, so she's joining me by phone this morning. Carol, good morning and welcome again.
Thank you, Philip. It's great to be with you.
I'm so glad you're joining me this morning because in that we are right in the middle of the holiday season, things have been unusually intense this year in particular for many Christian families impacted by the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. And yeah. I thought of you immediately because I know at Livingstones Ministries, not entirely, but for the most part, you dedicated a lot of your time, energy, and expertise to coming alongside and ministering to the family, in particular mom and dad, with gay-identified children in the family. So I'm so glad you're here this morning to join me.
Thank you.
Let's start by turning our attention to you have a recently new book available. Am I right?
Yes. It's really something I've been working on for years prior to leaving the ministry in California, but I finally was able to finish it with the help of a lady who is an expert on workbooks and curriculum kinds of things. So we finally brought it out, and we called it Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild, Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness. And the reason I wrote it, Philip, during the time that I was in the ministry there in California, which was almost 20 years, I noted that families found it very difficult to share with others their real feelings about what was going on with their children. And I wanted a tool for them to use to help process their emotions and how to deal with it. And so it's a self workbook in which they can respond to questions and understand themselves and move into some healing. So this particular workbook is now available through Amazon or Barnes and Noble.
Yes.
And so we just did it as a way of helping families to understand what was going on within themselves. I remember even at times there would be families who would maybe live on a farm or very far away from any kind of help, and they needed something to process what was going on with them. And that was my reason for writing it.
Excellent. Excellent. Heaven knows, when homosexuality comes knocking on your personal front door, it is not just the individual that finds himself or herself in crisis. It impacts the entire family, does it not?
Oh, it really does. I mean, and it's more than just the immediate family. There can be aunts and uncles. And I remember even in one situation, a grandmother was very, very concerned for her grandson who had come out to the family. So it does. It just impacts almost everyone related in the family.
In particular, Christian families, because often when, again, homosexuality surfaces in a family, Christian parents in particular want to know, how do we deal with this? What do I say? What don't I say? How do we address this? So your book is very, very timely. And share the title again, please.
It's called Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild. And the subtitle is Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness.
And this is now available through Amazon.
Yes.
Excellent. Wonderful.
And I actually, one other reason, Philip, I thought there are churches now wanting to minister to the families with no tools. And this could very easily be used in a small group because it includes a leader's guide. And I think it would help many churches to know or have a way of ministering to families.
Yes. No doubt that your book, The Writings, is completely and totally biblically based.
Yes. I really compare, at least as I go along, the story of Nehemiah, which I love that story. I love the character of Nehemiah. He was such an incredible person. Based on his background, he had very little to go on because he had been part, his family had been taken at the time when Jerusalem was overtaken. And so he never really knew his parents, and yet he had such a strong faith in the Lord and was so obedient to the Lord. It just challenges me to even read that book.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that it's available because it will be in great demand, I believe. Carol, I think we should share with our listeners that the whole subject matter of homosexuality, for you and I, we speak to this not just professionally, but personally. Your life, more specifically your marriage some years ago, was directly impacted by the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Would you mind sharing a bit on that?
Not at all, Philip. I grew up in a Christian family. In fact, my father was a pastor, a part-time pastor. And so all I knew was Christianity. I think we went to church almost every day of the week.
Wow.
And at that time, and so God had not exposed me to anything that would really probably bring a crisis to my life. And yet when I went to a Christian college and met a young man there who was planning on going into ministry, and I felt God's call in my life to missions, and I thought, well, maybe this is the right thing for us to be together. So we married, and I didn't realize prior to our marriage that he was struggling with same-sex attractions. So we went ahead and married, and I believe that God had really brought us together to do ministry together. And he was so much loved by young people, and he had such a great sense of humor. And the kids, the youth in the church where we first served, really loved him. In fact, the senior pastor referred to him as a Pied Piper because the kids loved him so much. And it was during that time that about 3 years into that, our time there as youth pastor and wife, that he was arrested for being caught with a young man in a homosexual act. And it was devastating to our relationship, devastating to the church, and we were asked to leave. And at that point in time, everyone advised me to go on and move on with my life, that homosexuals didn't change, and so I should go on. And so we were divorced, and I went on and led my life, and he continued actually in ministry, went to another church who didn't really know his background. And eventually he was found out and asked to leave, and really at that time gave in to his homosexual desires. And at that point, he lived it out and eventually died of AIDS at the age of 49. So out of that, you know, it was so difficult for me, Philip. I had such a strong faith in the Lord. I couldn't understand why he would not want to be healed or want help, and that seemed to be the case at that time. And yet God, out of that incredible hurt and pain in my life, gave me such a love for the homosexual community. Mm-hmm. Because as I learned about their own hurt and the struggles that they went through, God just brought a great deal of compassion into my life.
I still find it amazing today when we talk about the reality of change, and I think a little bit later we'll get deeper into that whole subject area. But God says very clearly in his word that with him all things are possible.
Yes.
We know according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which says in verse 11, and this is what some of you were. So with regard to can a homosexual change, God says it's possible, doesn't he?
Yes, he really does. And I think if we understand that that is his desire and that is what he wants for us, that it is possible. And I think it's important for us as family members to believe that and to claim that before the Lord for our loved one.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you, given, again, the many years that you and I have known one another and we've partnered together many times in ministry and conferences, based upon your many years of ministry experience, why do you suppose parents, in particular Christian parents, turn inward and blame themselves for the brokenness of same-sex attraction in their child? Why do parents turn and blame themselves?
You know, I think I've been thinking a lot about that question, Philip, and I think there's several reasons. For one thing, you know, if you read much in depth about homosexuality in the psychological world, there is often a connection between same-sex attractions and the relationship with the parents. And I think without understanding that homosexuality is much more complex, they will turn on themselves and blame themselves often for their behavior of their children, yet they forget that their children have a choice. And there are many factors that influence this, Philip, as you know.
Yes.
But I remember just in my counseling with families, I think part of it is maybe a parent did sin within their own lives, so then they took the responsibility of the homosexuality of their child. I had more than one father mention to me about having an affair on his wife, and how he felt that was the root cause of his son becoming homosexual. And I listened to a mom one time who she herself had been sexually abused, and she would not let the father touch her daughter because she so feared for her daughter to experience the same thing that she did. So there are situations where we as parents make mistakes, and then we automatically think that that is what has made our child gay. And it's just, it's sad to me, because if we were able to make our children homosexual, then we would also be able to cure them of that.
Good
point.
So we
have to trust that it's not just, there are many, many factors. So
yes.
One of them particularly, I think, is the perception of how children take things that we're not aware of sometimes as parents.
Yes.
We don't even are not aware of what we have said or how we have treated them in a certain situation and how impacting it might have been on them.
Yes.
And so we have this sense of guilt. And I know parents that I would deal with would go back through the entire history of their child and try to remember the things that had happened and how on earth that would have led them into homosexuality.
Yes.
So it's a very difficult and painful process for parents to understand what's happened with their child. And because we believe we formulate our children, then of course we think that we have some blame in it. And I think, too, to say we don't have blame, but I don't like the word blame.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we have to know is there are things that happen in life that we cannot control. There are things about us that we don't understand.
Yes.
And we will say things and do things that we don't understand the impact on our children. But to blame us for that, I don't like the word blame, Philip.
Yes, I understand. And heaven knows, as you've already shared, homosexuality is extremely complex. There are numerous and various contributing factors to any man or woman struggling with, hopefully, the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We do have to consider family dynamics, and heaven knows there's no such thing as perfect parenting, is there?
No, there isn't. And you know what's sad, Philip, is I think about the Christian families. I remember a couple particularly who were missionaries, and their son had come out to them, and they felt they needed to leave the mission field because of the homosexuality of their son. They felt so much guilt about it, and yet my sense is that Satan does everything he can to destroy families and to discourage families.
Yes.
And we must take that into consideration as well as being part of the journey, that we have to deal with it, yes, because maybe there are some things that we have done that may have hurt them. But it does not mean that we are to blame for that. but to bring it before Christ and to talk with him about it and let him shed his light into the situation and do something about it.
I remember many, many, many years ago when I had to disclose to my parents at the time that I was struggling with homosexuality. I don't think even at that particular point in time that I said I was struggling with homosexuality. I said I was bisexual, which wasn't entirely accurate and true.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember having to have conversations with my mother in particular to assure her. I didn't point a finger at her and blame her for the way I was struggling or this particular area of brokenness in my life. Because once again, I mean, let's back up even further. We are all born into a fallen world. We all struggle with a sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell us? We're all going to struggle with some form of brokenness. And for some of us, depending upon other factors that may come into our lives that we didn't seek or ask for, it can set us up for the struggle with same-sex attraction. But that said, and I do understand and even appreciate that most men and women, they want to look back to the past and they want to understand. They want an answer to, how did I get here? Because I know from Scripture, God didn't create me this way, so we have to be talking about a behavior that I acquired. And if acquired, it can be unacquired. But for most men and women, they want to know, how did I get here? And that's why we go back in the past, if you will. And we have to consider family dynamics, the temperament, the interests of the individual, the possibility of abuse, so many different factors. But for parents to heap all the blame upon themselves is just not accurate. It's not appropriate because, again, there's no such thing as perfect parenting. But to single out parents as somehow this is all entirely their fault, that's not true.
That's right, Philip. And I'm so glad you talk about that, because if we carry such a heavy burden of guilt, we can't really be involved in helping God to help our children.
Yes.
Because we become so self-focused.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to let go of that and go before the Lord and express our sense of guilt and express our sense of shame and let God work in that and to give us the appropriate scriptures that we can hang on to, faith in him as we go on our journey.
Yes. Well, in terms of scripture, and let's segue just a little bit right here, you and I, we've been in ministry now for many, many, many years, and we've seen how greatly the whole subject matter of homosexuality has changed from year to year to year. But I would submit, and you and I have talked about this several times before, that we really see the ultimate crisis we face today is the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ.
Yes.
The Word of God today is under relentless assault and bombardment. There are revisionists, we have pro-gay theologians, we have pro-gay apologists, attempting to rewrite Scripture to somehow validate homosexual practice, which simply from Scripture cannot be done. So I really see still the ultimate crisis we face is the authority of God's Word. Would you agree?
I do, Philip. I do greatly. And I think what saddens me as we go on, and you and I both started into ministry when homosexuality, to work with homosexuals, would have been forbidden almost for Christians. There was such a sense of judgment, and that was not right at that time. But now we're getting to the point where the church, I believe, doesn't know how to deal with homosexuality, same-sex attractions, and so therefore has allowed the concept of being Christian and being gay as permissible. And so it's sad to me to see that we can learn to love people, we can learn to treat them with respect, but we don't have to approve the behavior. And it's so difficult, I think, both for parents and family, but also for pastors and churches to know how to respond to this issue.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. How would you define, and I hear this all the time, I'm sure you do as well, especially in church, that we are to speak the truth in love to these men and women struggling with this particular form of brokenness. Speak the truth in love. What does that mean? What does that look like?
For one thing, Philip, I think so often when we say speak the truth in love, it has a flavor of being, how can we condemn somebody and still act like we love them? It's almost that the church has not fully comprehended how to love yet. So when we say to speak the truth in love, what is the truth? The truth really is the truth of God's word, and God emphasizes over and over again his love for man, his desire to redeem him and to take away those sins that he does. And so if we get caught up in speaking the truth in love, we have to also be caught up in the Word of God. How well are we saturated in the Word of God and what He says?
Yes.
Obviously, He doesn't like sin. He wants us to be rid of it. That's yes. His reason for Jesus being on the cross for our sin. But He does not hate us, as often seems to be implied by many who talk about Scripture.
Yes.
But I think it takes me, Philip, to the position that people do not know the Word of God as well as they need to. So they will take the truth of a pastor, perhaps, who is not as well-versed in the Word of God, or someone, a friend, perhaps, who has been impacted by the culture.
Yes.
So it's so important for us to know the truth of God through His Word in order to speak the truth in love. And I would say to be able to share with a person with same-sex attraction how much God loves them and how much He has a plan for their lives and how much He wants that to be fulfilled in them.
Yes.
And so His reason for holding the idea is wrong, then we must continue to love them.
Yes. And scripturally speaking, we know in both the Old and the New Testament, the scriptures that clearly point to homosexual practice in God's eyes as a sin. Consider the totality of scripture on this subject matter, and it is impossible to validate, endorse, or encourage homosexual practice because every time it is mentioned in God's word, it is mentioned as a behavior not unlike many others that God says no man or woman is to practice. I'm recalling a recent conversation I had, most recent conversation, with a gay activist, and we were talking about this subject matter. And finally, I asked her, I said, can you provide me a scripture where God says He's okay with homosexuality? And she immediately replied, well, there aren't any, and everybody knows that. And I thought, did you hear what you just said? So we've got to bring it back to the truth and the clarity of Scripture, because God hasn't changed and He's not going to change on this. So the question would be then, who's changed? Because we live in a totally different world today than when you and I began in ex-gay ministry some 25 years ago, hadn't it?
Yes, it has been.
Dramatically different today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. And it's very sad to me because I feel like it takes away a lot of the hope of family members that there can be change that happens, and it is possible to do so. And there is so much cultural impact, Philip, on this issue. And I think about the young men and women who struggle with their gender and sexuality and how they are not given any hope in the world that they can be any different than what they're feeling at that moment.
Yes, yes. And that's so, so important. I mean, you and I, every man and woman right now walking the face of this planet, we each could easily live without a lot of things, but we cannot live without hope. And I know this with regard to hope, because Jesus is very much alive, because He is alive. We can never, ever say that we are without hope, because He is there seated at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on behalf of each and every one of us.
Yes, and what a delight, Philip, for you to say that. And I think it's so important for us who claim to know the Lord. And I think that's a tragedy, too, that so often parents are know the Lord, and yet when they are impacted by this issue with their children, it is so painful for them.
Yes.
That it makes it very, very difficult for them to fix their eyes on Jesus. And I love that one verse of Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame,
yes,
and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And He is there praying for us even now, Philip, as you and I talk.
Yes. I think, too, today, especially, I would say with regard to American Christians,
yeah,
whatever habit, addiction, or compulsive behavior one might be struggling with, American Christians in particular, we even want our deliverance microwaved.
Yes, yes.
But God often chooses to work through a process, and a process always points to an element of time. I know when I sit across from young men and young ladies and have the opportunity to share with them the truth of Scripture on this subject, that yes, change is possible, I guarantee you, if they're in a battle with same-sex attraction, the very next statement or question out of their mouth is going to be, how long is this going to take?
Mm, yes.
And that is up to God, but we partner with him. It's not all just God swooping down from glory and going poof, and now it's all eradicated and done. We play an integral part in that process, don't we?
We do, and I think the parents in particular can play an incredible process in it. I think it's so, I tend to believe, Philip, that part of why this happens is that there needs to be a change in us as family members. In fact, I know that was so true for me, Philip. You know, I grew up thinking that I was a good girl, you know, because I kept all the rules in church. And I had a lot of rules in the church that I grew up in. But I felt that that made me a good Christian. And as a result, I became judgmental of others who couldn't do that and didn't live like I did. And I never understood that it was not, that's not what God wanted. He wanted a relationship with me. He wanted me to love him and for me to accept his love in spite of my imperfections. And he had to show me how imperfect I was through the years. But it's so important, I think, for us to get our eyes off ourselves, to let God attempt to break that pride and self-centeredness within us. And one way of doing it is that we have to deal with an issue with our children. Maybe it's not homosexuality. Maybe it's transgender. Maybe it's even alcoholism or something else. But God has a way of bringing us to our knees so that we will be dependent on him.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And put our faith in him to make the changes that need to be changed.
Yes, yes.
Both with ourselves and with our children.
Well, Carol, unfortunately, we are almost out of time. And I knew going into this, having you back on the program and given the topic that we're turning our attention to, that it was going to take more than one broadcast. So you're going to be coming back on the broadcast again next Saturday, which I'm very grateful for that. So for all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that what you've heard today is going to be encouraging and helpful. Please know at His Way Out Ministries, we are dedicated to raising awareness and equipping, encouraging the church to minister transformingly to both men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. Once again, Carol is the author of a new book, and if you possibly did not catch the title, please feel free to go to our website, HisWayOut.com, and there you'll find our contact information. We'll be happy to respond to you with Carol's book title and where you can get her book. Carol, thanks so much for being here.
You're so welcome, Philip. It's been great. I look forward to talking more.
We will put a to be continued on this. Once again, to everyone listening in today, thanks for joining us. Please join us next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.